It is the record for this Friday, May 30th. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. On May Day, Seattle Mayor Ed Murray's Income Inequality Committee came out with a proposal to get Seattle to a $15 an hour minimum wage. Committee members touted it as a grand compromise of 2014. Well, the full city council votes on it on Monday. It's expected to pass with just a few minor changes. But at least one person on the mayor's committee is openly frustrated with the process and the proposal. Nightlife entrepreneur Dave Minard is the owner of the iconic Five Point Cafe and other restaurants. And late Wednesday, he dished about the $15 an hour compromise on Facebook. Steve Scherer talked with him yesterday, and Dave Minard says the compromise isn't just frustrating. He calls it
a charade, to be exact. Look, it's not a compromise. There was definitely different sides of this, and at the end of the day, there was not an agreement. And the mayor's staff put an agreement in front of us and said, you can choose to support this, or you can get something that's going to be worse for business.
You wrote in your post that in the final negotiations, the staff basically didn't work towards creating a compromise or consensus. It's bullying, you said.
Yeah, well, I mean, they presented a plan to us and said, you can either, you know, support this plan or you can get something worse.
Is that bullying or isn't that the process? That sounds like a committee process.
So, really? Not any committees I'm on. I don't take kindly to threats like that. And, you know, if you want there to be a compromise and consensus, that means people actually agree on it and support the idea. Not because they think there's going to be something worse, but because they actually like the idea.
Dave Minard is the owner of the Five Point Cafe, other restaurants. He was on the mayor's Income Inequality Committee. Now, you put forth your own ideas for a better compromise. You wrote, a real compromise would have been big and small businesses all going to $15 in 3 years with a permanent, enforceable tip credit, a health care credit, exempting micro businesses and nonprofits. But you still call that a compromise. In your version, what are you giving up?
Well, I think that I don't know if it's really about giving up something from either side. I think what you're trying to do is figure out how to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, which most people on the committee supported that idea to some extent. I think that there's an idea of a phase-in and how quick that phase-in should be, and that was part of the compromise. Too long of a phase-in isn't really doing much good work. And I think that, you know, a 5 to 7 year phase in, depending on how you look at it, it's probably too long for workers if you really believe we should get to 15 soon.
You know, you said something in this posting. You have lost all respect for the labor leaders involved, and you said the final ordinance reflects goals of labor leaders that go far beyond raising the minimum wage. What do you think they were angling for, and why'd they lose your respect?
Well, I think because that they're willing to compromise on what they say are their principles in order to get these other things. For example, somebody that owns a franchise, a small business owner, say an immigrant family that owns a Subway shop that puts in several hundred thousand to open that, has 12 employees, owns one single Subway shop, there's essentially no difference between that business owner and a small business owner of their own restaurant that's not part of a franchise. The difference is that they have to pay an extra fee to Subway to have some marketing. Now, in past laws, like the Seattle Sick Days Ordinance, that franchise would have been seen as a small-tiered business. But labor wants to break open the franchise agreements and organize the franchisees. And so that's why they're counted as big business in this, because they hoped that those franchise agreements get opened up. I think that's unfair. I don't disagree with the goal of organizing franchises. I just don't think that's the role that this law should be playing.
I see. Yeah, you said it's a good time for the mayor and the council to read Hans Christian Andersen, because this ordinance is naked. So the city council today is looking at some compromises. They postponed implementing the ordinance in a committee vote, and they're also talking about a training wage for teen workers. Do you see this unraveling at this point? Do you see a place where your approach could be taken up by some sympathetic council members?
No, I think it'll pass essentially the way it was put down, and it'll go forward. I do see that changes could be made in, you know, upcoming years, and the council will hopefully be, as they pass this, will be putting in a review process. Again, I support raising the minimum wage. I support, I think the state should raise the minimum wage. I think we should raise it federally. And I think that there's problems with tip credit, but those are problems that are fixable, and we should fix them, not do away with it. But in that, we should really be worrying about workers first, not unions' agendas.
Yeah, I got to say, you end this this post by saying, I'm not sure I can support candidates who take money from the SEIU, UFCW, King County Labor Council. You say it's a bad ordinance. You use a different word. Don't even begin to think otherwise. When you read who takes credit for it in the national media, you will know who wins and why. So who's winning and why?
Well, I think just watch who takes credit for it in the national media. I think some names will come up, and you'll see that they really care more about their national stance on this issue, taking credit for raising the minimum wage to 15, regardless of how they do it and what the unintended consequences are. They just want credit nationally for doing it. They want to write books that get on the New York Times bestsellers, and they want to get, you know, higher positions at their jobs, et cetera.
Dave Miner, not mincing words, the local restaurateur and member of the mayor's minimum wage committee. Of course, the council also has critics on the other side. We're going to be following up in detail with the 15 Now people as the story of their ballot initiative continues to develop.
Q13 Fox political analyst C.R. Douglas has been following the minimum wage debate and has joined us over the last few months, and he's back. Hi, C.R.
Hello.
So, entrepreneur Dave Miner, not too happy with the proposal or the process. What do you make of what he had to say?
Well, it sounds a little bit like buyer's remorse. I mean, where was he a month ago when the deal was announced and he voted for it and he lauded it? So with some, I don't know, weeks to think about it, he's decided that on reflection, he doesn't like it. And worried that labor got the upper hand. And in some ways, he is right. Labor probably did have the upper hand in this, but I think you can argue they earned it. I mean, there was a context for this whole discussion, which was the vote in SeaTac last fall, a mayoral election where this was kind of required of candidates to support 15. You obviously had the Shama Sawant victory. So labor came at this with a strong hand. Business was sort of facing a headwind. I'm sure there was bullying and kind of ugliness to the negotiations, but it was a compromise by almost any definition. So it's very odd that he is not describing it that way.
How many people do you think share his opinion from that committee?
Well, no one so far.
No, I mean, nobody stepped forward.
The business co-chair of the committee, Howard Wright, lauds the deal, thinks it's great, thinks it was a compromise. I mean, it's interesting. If you look at it, Dave Miner got a lot in this deal. You know, labor hates tip credit. Labor hates health care credit. Well, there is tip and health care credit in this. It's temporary. It phases out, but it is part of the deal. The definition of business is extremely generous, I believe. 500 employees, that's under that is small business. The phase-in is quite long. You know, for nonprofits and small business, it's 7 years, can go out to 9 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, labor did well in this. I think business did well. No one is entirely happy. No one expects Dave Miner should be happy, but no one on the committee is got everything they wanted.
So we've used that word compromise, grand compromise. Dave Miner called it bullying. What do you think what happened says about how the mayor led his committee in the process of coming up with a plan?
Well, I don't see how you can have an issue so divisive, so controversial, and not expect the sort of closed-door negotiations to be, you know, pretty raucous, pretty hard. I don't doubt that at the end the mayor said, hey, you know, you guys got to get to an agreement. But you got to give Ed Murray credit, I believe. This is a remarkable achievement. He spent the whole campaign basically on one theme, which is I can bring people together on hard issues. I sort of felt by the end that was pretty oversold. I thought, well, good luck, because you got a lot of hard issues. Let's see if you can do this. Well, I'll be darned. Look, he takes this big issue and within a very short amount of time gets almost unanimity on a committee, gets it basically past the city council. And we should say something that's important here. not just that Dave Minor is sort of changed his position, but a more important factor is Shama Sawant changed her position. She voted against this deal a month ago and now supports it, which means the likelihood of a big ballot fight is zero. If you would have said 4 months ago, Ed Murray's going to get basically a consensus, get this to the council, avoid a ballot fight, I would have said, you're crazy. It looks like he's done that.
I'm talking with political analyst C.R. Douglas, and you mentioned it looks like it's going to go ahead. Yesterday, a city council committee made some tweaks, but essentially the proposal goes forward almost as written. Can you highlight a couple of the major changes?
Well, one thing they're doing is they're delaying by 4 months the sort of start date of this. Instead of January 15th, it's April 15th. I think that's very minor and procedural. There's been a lot of sort of press about training wage, that they're sort of adding that. They are not adding a training wage. They are adding a section that allows you to sort of apply for special dispensation, if you will, for some kind of hardship scenarios. If you're hiring disabled workers, some youth, a training wage is sort of an automatic lower wage. Everyone is entitled if you sort of fulfill a certain requirement. This is not a training wage. This is a very, very, very small kind of exception you can apply for. And that's the only tweaks the council is making.
So Monday, when the full council considers this, do you expect any last-minute grandstanding, or do you think it's going to go pretty smoothly?
I think it'll go right through very smoothly, given the committee vote yesterday. Shama Sawant, obviously a huge player in all this, declared victory yesterday on the steps of City Hall. I think that's the right move. Listen, this is not the pure 15 they wanted. They wanted it now, you know, not in 7 years, no tip credit. But they're compromising, you know, which is a little bit odd for Dave Minor to say he's the only side, you know, that there's no compromising. I think they should declare victory. They're pushing their luck if they try to go to the ballot with something pure. Polling shows people like this compromise and they like Ed Murray's leadership on this as opposed to the Pure 15 and Shama Sawant. It'd be high risk to go to the ballot for them.
C.R. Douglas is a political analyst for Q13 Fox. And again, the Seattle City Council will vote on that minimum wage hike proposal Monday at its full council meeting. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
With Ross Reynolds, I'm Marcy Silman, and this is The Record on KUOW.